Third time's a charm. It all happens
That's
in threes,
what they said.
Kids.
Okay, put the needle down here. Amateur college radio. Here we go. No, and I don't skip grooves on me there.
We were just having Thank a cigarette.
You. Thank you.
We just came in from the roof.
Lionel Hampton on the vibes.
All-star lineup, 1938, remastered.
Benny Goodman at Carnegie Hall.
Buck Clayton on the trumpet. Harry James on the trumpet. Gene Krupper on the drums.
Of course.
Cootie Williams on the trumpet. This thing was full of action, and that's what Benny Goodman wanted. He wanted quality guys, and he got it every single time.
Yeah, this is that monumental 1938 recording of Benny Goodman at Carnegie Hall. It's actually a two-album set, and I could just sit here, track this thing, and call it a day.
You know, the one thing about this show is it's so big, but do you think they knew how big it was? Because it seems like when these live shows come out, they don't know it until the afterglow.
Well, it's interesting you asked that. Nat King Cole here the other day in an interview that I listened to with him, he didn't know. Because after all, with jazz artists, they're performing. In Nat's case, he was performing in front of fellow musicians and hip people.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there were a lot of the people in attendance until one day it just sort of happened for him. So I would have to think that Goodman landing with this talent would have known he'd hit it big at this point.
Yeah. The interesting thing about live shows, too, in the lore of jazz, I remember a talk to a guy in London by the name of Joe Spivey.
Yes.
He documents jazz that's been on all sorts of films and TV shows.
Yeah.
And he told me that Massey Hall show with Dizzy and Charlie Parker was ill-attended because there was a heavyweight boxing match going on at the time.
Well, that'll do it.
So you talk about, whenever I ask people if you can get into a time machine and go back in time, what would you see? They always talk about that show, and it was one of the most ill-attended shows, but the biggest concert that I would say in jazz memory that even went down, along with this one, it's up in that...
Yeah.
You know, top fives. So.
Well, it is still relevant, the song here, I Got Rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're kind of improvising here now, but yes, we're listening to a version of I Got Rhythm. That was a song, as I understand it, that was sort of the launching point for what we call bebop.
Yes. Yes. And then... You know, the Moldy Figs got upset, and we had a new revolution in jazz, which happens all the time.
Yep. It was this one that was really different, and it came along with all these rhythm changes and things that are going on in it, and they said, you know, here we've got an art form, folks.
So speaking of, I was saying earlier on, this is our third take, but my first take, I wanted to bring this up. Benny Goodman, anytime I see a Benny Goodman cover... Now, there's a little bit of me that has kind of a jolly feel to it. I've always had reverence for him, but I have a whole new level of, like, knowing him because of Terry Gibbs. I interviewed him, and
he
would always... He had all kinds of stories about Benny, and one of them was...
Now, for those of our listening audience who are asking who Terry Gibbs is...
Yeah. Terry Gibbs is a legendary vibraphonist who is 92, I believe. We share the same birthday, October 13th. And I interviewed him before that birthday, and we got into it about all kinds of things. But he told me that Benny called everybody Pops because he couldn't remember anybody's name.
Yeah.
He called his wife Pops. So all these guys in the band, yo, Pops, 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 Pops. Everybody was Pops.
Did he have any sons?
Yeah, two sons.
Never.
Moons. So the thing about Benny, too, is that one of the most hysterical stories that he said was, if you wanted a raise or any money... I believe this is how it went. You would go to his hotel room. And he went to his hotel room one morning when he was practicing.
He went to Benny's hotel room.
Benny's hotel room.
Yeah.
I believe it was in New York. They were on tour. And he opens the door. Benny's standing there naked with a clarinet in his hand and socks on.
Get out of here.
And he asked him for a raise and got it. And Benny acted like he had a full three-piece suit on.
Well, you better.
That's right. But the one thing that Terry did say in the defense of Benny, when he got on that stage, he never in his life heard somebody blow the horn like he did.
Yep.
That was how he rolled. It was
and
good.
Not something he wanted to bring up in an interview later.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
wow, listen to these guys.
Mike, what's up, man? What's going on out there? I'm just glad we got sound now.
I am too.
So we were going to play Andre Previn earlier on, and the one thing that's interesting about interviewing these guys is Andre Previn's people actually got back, and I had the chance to interview him. I had the chance to interview Toots Thielemans. For all the people that I've interviewed on this show, it's funny how many near misses there are.
Toots Thielemans.
Yeah.
Yeah, the harmonica player.
Yeah, he was, where was he at? Was he in Holland?
I want to say that's close, but not exactly right. Yeah, that part of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toots was amazing. He's the one that did the harmonica for Midnight Cowboy. And a lot of people don't know this, Toots also is the whistling guy in the Old Spice commercials.
And? He was in the Sesame Street theme song.
Okay, you got me on that one. I didn't realize that.
Tonight.
Well, if you wanted a whistle or a harmonica, call Toots.
And if you guys ever win a show out there, if you guys ever make some money, go ahead and send it our way on that question.
Yeah.
We're just helping out here.
Okay, you picked up another album here.
Yeah.
You're always good at picking.
Oh, yes. Let's do it.
I'm quite curious as to what you found here.
This is the mixed bag. I don't even know what I picked. It was 5 minutes ago.
I'll just drop the needle on something here and see what happens.
Drop the needle.
The lighting is terrible here.
Tonight's temperature is chilly.
Wait a minute. What?
What were they doing in the 80s?
Okay, you got a slap bass?
Yeah.
I've heard this. Oh, get out of here.
On tonight's continuing coverage of the O.J. Simpson trial.
Wait a minute. I know what this is. Wrong time of year. Okay.
We're a month out.
I know what this is. You better know what this is. Hit that ratchet drum.
Go! Go! Beat those ghosts.
Are you...
Seal it up. Oh, man. Are you kidding me?
Obviously.
I did pick this one.
Yes. All right. Misfile. Misfile. No, we're not going to take it again.
Bill Murray should make that his theme and call it the Indian Busters.
Actually, what was the song they sang in Scrooged? Think of your fellow man. Da, 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 da. Put a little love in your heart.
That's right. Put a little love in your heart.
The old Jackie DeShannon cover, which in that movie was done by Ann Lennox, I recall. All right, back to...
Now you take the high road and I'll take the low road.
Loch Lomond.
But I'll be in Scotland for you. For me and my true love may never meet again. On the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
That would be Martha Tilton.
Martha Tilton, yeah.
Look it up for me, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, man. You got the ear, my man. You got the ear for good music. Good music.
Some of these, you can always tell Peggy Lee when you hear her. Helen O'Connell, I've always picked her out of a crowd.
Billie Holiday,
Gerald. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Billie, you know. Some man been treating me mean.
Yeah.
Nobody got the tear of Billie Holiday, folks.
Yeah.
Except maybe Nancy Wilson. She could do it.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, totally. That's true.
The Highland Hills we view, and the sun coming out in the glow.
The next thing we're going to have to do, folks,
don't do it,
is have to come up with some kind of a holder for that phone with a camera.
For right now, I would say it's the Leaning Tower of iPhone. This thing's a little crooked, and it might fall again, so get your kicks on Route 66.
Loch Lomond.
Benny Goodman, thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, New York.
Live at Carnegie Hall in 1938. Like I said, thought we'd track that one here for a little bit, along with that extra, which we thought, sorry about that. But we're just having fun here, guys. Anyway.
So from 1938 to 2016,
yeah,
another week until the ball falls there. But yeah, you know, we were talking about, was that the first take? Maybe we got it on this take. Ghostbusters threw my brain off.
It did me too.
I think we covered it all. Sometimes when I hear the 80s, I wonder, what were they doing? And I just get lost a little bit.
Well, the 80s were certainly about rhythm.
And a lot of cocaine.
So, it gives whole new meaning to the line forms here.
That's right. There's residue on the bills. But, oh, man. Yeah, Benny, good. And were we talking about Charlie Parker in this segment, or did we do a take two on that? We talked about Massey Hall.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we covered it. Okay. So in those seminal jazz recordings, this one has to be there on the top of the list.
You betcha.
You know, so. There we go again. God dang, thank you for falling down. What is going on around here?
Well, we're at 10 minutes, so I think we used up our minutes anyway.
Yeah, I think we're good. So on that note,
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, y'all.
Take care of yourself and all your
right.
friends.
And
the snowman. Have a cookie. Have a few.
Yeah.
Have more than that. Out of here.
Perfect. That's a take, I guess.
Neon Jazz.